If you have your Bible with you tonight, I would ask you to turn with me, please, to the first book of Samuel, chapter 20. 1 Samuel and chapter 20 for the scripture reading. We'll read from verse 1. It's quite a short reading tonight. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 3. It's a short reading, but I trust the Lord will bless it to us all tonight for Christ's sake. That's a wee word of prayer. Let's just still our hearts for a moment. Lord, we thank thee for the meeting already, for the hymns that have been sung, for the pieces that the group has sung. But Lord, we come now to consider the truth of God, the eternal word. And Lord, there are lessons in this portion that we all need to learn. Solemn lessons. They can be life-changing lessons and soul-saving lessons when God applies them to our hearts. That's why we pray, before we say anything more, Lord, take of thy word tonight and use it for thy glory. Hide me behind the cross and let the solemnity and truth of the scriptures be burned into our hearts. We pray in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Amen. David makes a statement at the end of verse 3, and maybe you've guessed, since it is a gospel mission, I think I know what he's going to speak upon. If you've guessed that the text is from the end of verse 3, you've guessed right. David says, "There is but a step between me and death." Now, at the time that David made this statement, he had come a long, long way from being the simple shepherd boy. His life had changed dramatically, and it all changed whenever he defeated Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. Really, that victory heralded a new era in the life of young David. Things were never the same again. You see, the defeat of the Philistine champion meant that the nation of Israel was saved. And that meant young David was lifted up into a very prominent position. He's the lad who, with the help of the Lord, had saved the nation. So David is now, believe it or not, as a young lad, a key public figure, and a popular one at that. Now, David didn't let the victory go to his head. Sometimes when people do well in life, you couldn't look at them, the pride's just bursting out of them. But not young David. He didn't let it go to his head. He gave God the glory. And he behaved himself wisely. Didn't get carried away at all. Actually, the Bible says after the victory against Goliath, when David was exalted as a great hero in Israel, it says he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. In other words, the people and even the attendants upon the king looked upon him as one decent, humble, upright lad. He had achieved greatness, but it didn't ruin him. And the people liked him. Actually, whenever they came back from that great victory, and they came back to the capital, it tells us in the Bible
that the ladies in the streets, they were singing and cheering as the soldiers returned victorious from the battle with the Philistines. And the ladies were singing that Saul, he was the king now, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David hath slain his tens of thousands. And by that they were just singing and celebrating and giving thanks and saying, our king has slain thousands. But young David, through what he did against Goliath in that winner-takes-all battle, he had more or less slain tens of thousands. He had single-handedly defeated the whole of the Philistine army. There's a problem now, though. You see, when King Saul heard the people singing about young David slaying tens of thousands and he had only slain thousands, that dreadful sin of jealousy crept in. Saul got jealous. And the jealousy took over his heart to such an extent that his heart became murderous. He was so jealous of David and full of so much envy, and that became so much hatred that he wanted to kill David. He saw David as a threat to him. We're told that his first murderous attempt was obvious for all to see. David was playing the harp in Saul's presence. Saul took a javelin and tried to throw it through him. Young David was a quick wee lad, and he got out of the way and escaped for his life. But the king, before witnesses, tried that day to kill David. So you can see, hatred had taken over. Then, when that failed, the Bible tells us that King Saul thought, there's bound to be some way I can get him and get rid of him. And he then made an appeal to David. He said, David, I'd love you to marry my daughter, Michal. And in order to do that, I know that you come from a poor family. But you could prove to me your courage as opposed to bringing your money, which you don't have. If you slay 200 Philistines and bring the evidence of that, that'll prove you're a brave lad and you're good enough to marry my daughter, the princess. But of course, King Saul, in his wicked, twisted way, and he was a wicked twister, he was hoping when David goes out to tackle these Philistines, he'll get his comeuppance. They'll kill him and I get rid of him. Well, however, it didn't work that way. And David came back with 200 dead Philistines. So Saul failed again. There was another reconciliation initiated by Jonathan, Saul's son, who had a lot of time for David. It only lasted a short time, and Saul yet again tried to murder David with a javelin. So it was pretty obvious what Saul's intentions were. He wasn't for quitting. He was doing all he could to get rid of David. That night, David even had to flee from his own house for his safety. At Naoth, once again, the Lord protected David and Samuel the prophet. So, what I'm saying to you is, this young lad, David, he came to prominence because the Lord helped him against Goliath. But one of the prices he paid for that was the hatred of the king, who became bitter and jealous and wanted him dead. And it is at this point, and it is in these circumstances, that young David says to Jonathan, you know, Jonathan, there's but a step between me and death. I think if ever a man uttered a profound statement, it was David on this occasion. How relevant it was to his life at that time. There was only a step between him and death. At any time, he might have been cut down. But you know, that statement is as appropriate and as applicable today as it was then. It's as appropriate for every one of us in this mission as it was for David on that occasion. And that statement is the statement I want to go through with you tonight, and I want you to think about it. Three simple thoughts about it. First of all, this statement brings before us the reality of death. There is but a step between me and death. Friends, death is a reality. The Bible says we must needs die. As if we needed reminding. It's all around us, the evidence that we must die. You know, sometimes I pick up the newsletter and, well, for the like of me, I'm one of these people, let you into a secret, I go to the back pages first. And it's not because of the Hebrew and starting the back and reading the wrong way around. It's because there's a wee thing called the sport at the back. And I would start at the back and make my way to the front. And sometimes when I would be doing that, I'd be looking for news of my beloved Tottenham Hotspur. And sometimes there's nothing in it because they don't do an awful lot, never have, but I still like them anyway. Or I might look in the back for news of who's going to ride whose machinery in the road races in the next season. And some days I'll look in it, but what I'm looking for is not reported. So sometimes the things I'm interested in just aren't there. You know what I found in the newsletter, though? Every day when I go to the death columns, they're full. They're full. Every day. There's always news about loved ones who have passed away. Because death is a reality. It's always there. Always before us. The news headlines are full of it. You know, the accident in England. The bus, the lorry. The poor people whose lives have been snuffed out so, so quickly and so tragically. It's always there. You put the news on and there are young soldiers dying out in Afghanistan. It would break your heart. But just almost every day, it just seems to be trotted out in the news. Somebody else, another two today. It's everywhere. You look at the news in the third world countries. There's starvation, floods, natural disasters. Folks, it's everywhere. And people are doing all in their power today to escape death. They really are. But you know, death always has the last say. And here in the developed world, everything's changing to try and make us live longer. Have you noticed the way even the eating habits, they have to change, they tell us. If we want to live longer, if we want to live happier, less fat and more fibre. That doesn't go down well in the country where we like fish suppers, but that's the way it is. Less fat, more fibre. Do you want to live longer? Cut out the fatty stuff. Eat more fibre. That's the way it is. Less idleness, more exercise. You want to live a bit longer, they say. But no matter what you eat, or don't eat, no matter what exercise you take, or you don't take, friends, there's something that's going to happen. It might be bad news for some of you, but you're going to die. Now you are. And you can do all you like to ward off that day. But you'll not change it. There's but a step between you and death. You know, there's a wee verse. I'll just read it to you for the sake of time. In Deuteronomy 28 and 66. Listen to it. I'll read the words out. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Now, the context of that was this. God was saying to the people, if you disobey me, if you forget my law, if you cast my book to one side and live your own way, you'll be in trouble. And you'll be guaranteed nothing, and the blessing will be removed, and you can die at any minute. That's the context of the warning from God. But this verse summarizes for me anyway, and I hope for you, the reality of death. It says, thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. The Bible says life is dubious, life is doubtful. And it's hanging in doubt before every single one of us. There is no assurance of another heartbeat. Not one of us here has the assurance of next year, next month, next week, tomorrow, or even tonight. No, we don't. We do not have that assurance, and death is the enemy that we cannot see. But often it lurks just around the corner. We can't see it coming. But it's there. The reality of death. I remember whenever I was in Bible college, There was a comedian died. His name was Tommy Cooper. Maybe many of you know Tommy Cooper. You remember him from those days. Now, he died on a Sunday night, so I didn't see it happening, of course. Wouldn't be watching television on the Lord's Day. But there was a live television show somewhere broadcast from, I don't know, somewhere in London or some of these big places. It was live on TV on a Sunday night. He was on the stage joking and doing whatever he was doing. I don't know. But he collapsed on the stage. And the audience, I'm told, was howling and roaring because, you know, he was a very funny person. And they thought this was part of the act that he had collapsed in front of them. But then when he didn't get up, the laughter kind of died away and they brought the curtains in. And Tommy Cooper died. Doing a live performance, broadcast live on television on a Sunday night. You see, in the midst of the laughter, there was an appointment that he didn't know he would have to keep that night. Nobody else knew it. But he had reached the appointed time when he would have to die. And that couldn't even be postponed for half an hour till the program was over because he had reached the point in time where he'd have to die. And you know, friends, nothing will stop it coming when it's time to go. I think of the rich fool in the Bible. He had much goods laid aside for many years, or so he thought. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. He had all the money he needed for retirement. He was able to live it up all his days. And as far as he was concerned, I've got plenty of time to enjoy this big harvest. I'll make the most of it. But God stepped in. God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're not going to spend all that money. You're not going to do those things. Oh, you think you are. But you're not. Because there's only a step between you and death." That's what God was saying. I wonder, do you realize how real death is? It's something real. It's there. And you're going to have to face it. The reality of death. But can I just develop that a wee bit further in the second point and speak to you about the actual realization of it? You see, there's a vast difference between accepting the reality of death, and I hope you've accepted that, but there's a difference between that and having a conscious realization of it. You see, David says there's a step between me and death. He realized death was close to him. To him. Not someone else, but him. He didn't say there's but a step between so-and-so and death. Or there's a step between your other man and death. He says there's a step between me and death. Many people realize that death is close to others and fail to realize it's close to themselves. You know, people can say, there's an individual and they haven't long to go. They're not too well. And they can be right about that. We all know the horrors of cancer now. It breaks all of our hearts. It comes to all of our families. We've all had to face it. We've all seen what it does. And we've all had to say of somebody we love very dearly, they haven't long to go. Not long now, because that old illness has got a hold of them. We're going to lose them soon. Aye, we've all said there's a step between somebody else and death. We've all been there. It's broken our hearts. But David says, no, it's between me and death. And on this occasion, David was a young man. So youth is no protection against death. Now, I know you could reply, hold on a minute, I remember your introduction. You talked about Saul trying to kill him, so this was a lad who was on the run for his life. He was being hunted, tracked down, and the king was trying to put him away. Yes, that's true. Those are the circumstances. But that does not diminish the truth of the statement. There's but a step between him and death, even though he's young. And even young people can die. They can. You know what the Bible says? Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There's not a person in this world who, when it comes to God's appointed time, can retain the Spirit, can hold on to the Spirit and say, I want to live a bit longer. I don't want this Spirit to depart this body. I'm going to hold on to it. There's not a person who's got power in the day of his death. Not one of us. Whether we're young or old, it doesn't matter. Whether we're fit and healthy or old and weak, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Older person, doesn't matter. If your life's ambitions haven't been fulfilled, many people don't want to think about death and don't want to face up to it and realize that it's there. Oh, I have still things to do. I still want to be here for the kids. I still want to be here for the grandweans. I have still a lot of things I want to hang around for. Listen, folks. All of those ambitions are fine. I have nothing against them. When it's time to die, those things will not keep you on this earth one bit longer. Do you realize that? The thread of life can snap at any time. Do you realize that death comes to young and old, rich and poor, wise and foolish? I think of that portion in Acts chapter 12, King Herod. King Herod was a man who was carried away with his own importance. He had already murdered the Apostle James. He had imprisoned the Apostle Peter. And he set himself up on a throne in royal array. And he was so full of himself, so proud and so pompous, the people even said it is the voice of a god. So they thought. This is the great King Herod. But the Bible tells me the angel of the Lord immediately smote him. He was eaten of worms and he gave up the ghost at the very time when he was at the pinnacle of his power and his greatness. God just stepped in and the man passed away. Death came. It can come at any time. One minute he was being healed as a god, the next he was dead. It comes quickly. Do you realize that? I think many of us don't. And not just unsaved people. Even Christians just fail to realize that there's only a step between them and their death. The reality of it, the realization of it, and finally one more thing, being ready for it. Because this is the most important point. Being ready for it. I wonder if God came tonight, are you ready for it? If death came to you tonight, are you ready to go? There's an old hymn, maybe the group have sung it sometime in the past, I don't know, but it used to be played in our house. I don't know who sang it, on a tape or a record or something. If God came tonight, are you ready to go? And I haven't heard it in a while, but it used to be played in our house when I was wee. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, the Saviour said this, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In other words, friends, when you least expect it, death can come. That's why you need to be ready. That's why you need to be saved. And that's why you need to be saved now. Because you do not know when death will come to you. So are you ready? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Are you ready? Because listen, there are two words in there. I want you to remember them. Death and judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Death and judgment. They are coming. So are you ready for them? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your sins forgiven? You see, to be ready, you have to confess your sin to the Lord. You have to pray to the Lord to forgive you. You have to accept that Christ died on the cross for you and endured the wrath of God for all of your sin. You need to accept all of that. And you need to come and ask Christ into your heart to be your Saviour. That's the only way to be ready. You need to prepare for this. Death and judgment, it's coming. You need to be ready. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There are those who die, and really is a wonderful thing, because they're saved. They're the Lord's saints. They're ready to go. The Bible says that's a precious thing. That's a very special thing. That's something to thank God for. These people were ready. The Bible says something else. It says in Proverbs 1:31 that those who reject Christ shall eat of the fruit of their own way. That's not a precious death. That ushers the soul out into judgment. To eat of the fruit of their own way. To be punished for their sins throughout all eternity. That's what awaits the unprepared. So what we're saying tonight is this: be prepared. And the time to do that is now. Now is the time to get saved, because you don't know if this is your last time to get saved. You don't know when death will come. I could stand here tonight and just go on and on about sudden deaths and whip up your emotions, but I don't want to do that. But I do want you to think about this. You could die at any moment, and then there would be judgment for your soul. And the only way to escape that is to trust Christ and be saved. Don't neglect God's great salvation. Please, don't neglect it. It's your soul, your eternity. If you neglect salvation and die without Christ, you'll be in hell. But if you accept Christ and be saved and prepare to meet God, when you die, you'll be in heaven. The choice is yours tonight. What will you do with Christ? Will you prepare to meet the Lord? I trust you will. Thank you once again for listening to God's word.